Lap. Or maybe if you've got a dead tree in your hand, it also works. Acts chapter 20. We're just going to read a couple of verses, verse 22 to 24. The least your app could have is a beep for me to know that, okay, you've got it. That's simple technology, I would have thought, on the app. Beep, okay. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem. This is Paul speaking, and I'll give a bit of background to this just now. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. If you want to learn a verse off by heart and say it every day, that would be the verse I would suggest you learn off by heart. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given to me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Amazing verse. Heavenly Father, as we have worshipped and declared you to be God and declared you to be great and declared you to be holy and declared our willingness to surrender to you, Lord, as we come to what you want to say to us now, help us to listen as you have listened to us. Help us to show our love for you by obeying what we hear. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I was talking to somebody the other day who kind of struggles with this whole thing about divide gardens and that. And she just doesn't know why God can't speak to her. I mean, she wants to know this. Why doesn't he just speak to her? Why doesn't he just speak to her? And really what she needs to do is to go back to where we started our series, go back to the very beginning. Because as we saw there, divine guidance doesn't start the minute we want to know something. It starts when we understand what the will of God is for our lives. And I'm going to repeat some of this just now. And the will of God for our lives is that we should be sanctified. We start with what we know. We start with what God wants for us. He wants us to walk our lives in a way that please him, that honor him in everything. That's where understanding the will of God starts, with us living in relationship with him in a way that pleases him. Now, there's an interesting verse in Scripture. The Lord confides in those who fear him. The Lord confides in those who fear him. Now, to confide in somebody, I mean, I'm sure you know what it means to confide in somebody. You take them into your trust. It involves revealing stuff to them because you trust them with it. And this is an amazing verse because it tells us that the Lord confides in some people. That he takes some people into his trust. He reveals stuff to them. Why? Because he trusts them. Wouldn't you like to be such a person? Wouldn't you like to be the kind of person in whom the Lord can confide? Well, the psalmist tells us the kind of people that we ought to be for the Lord to confide in us, those who fear him. Sorry, I've gone one ahead of myself. Those who fear him are those in whom the Lord confides. Those who live lives in a way that please him. Those who live lives that are holy. Those who live lives that are set apart for him. Are we living our lives taking God seriously? Well, we can be those in whom the Lord confides. We can be those the Lord takes into his confidence. And as we look at this subject of divine direction, isn't that what we are looking for? Don't we really want God to tell us stuff that would be helpful for us to know what His will for our lives is, which is helpful to us as we make decisions concerning our future? Now, we have spent time looking at lives that please the Lord, and we started our series 3 weeks ago by looking at lives that please the Lord, and we saw in our first talk that it is the Lord's will. That's His will. He tells us that we should be sanctified. And I hope that message kind of sunk in, that you took it seriously, and that you've been making every effort to live lives which please the Lord, that you've been looking to live a life which is sanctified. This means if we are, then we are ready to hear the process that God may use as He gives us His direction, as He takes us into His confidence to tell us stuff about our future. Let me give you some background to our text. Paul had spent 3 years in the city of Ephesus. And there in the city of Ephesus, kind of almost on the coast, he had a wonderful ministry. He got to know the people. He got to know the place. He got to know the struggles. But then something happened. While he was going about his business, enjoying the people, while he was going out about his business, he felt a prompting. And because he was living a life that was pleasing God, because he was living in the fear of the Lord, Paul had a sense that God was busy taking him into His confidence. Paul had the sense that God was prompting him to leave Ephesus. I mean, there needed to be a strong prompting there, because Paul had no desire to leave Ephesus. Why would he want to? So Paul calls the elders of the church and tries to explain to them what's going on in his life. Try to explain to them how God had taken Paul into His confidence and told Paul that He wanted Paul to move on somewhere else. And it was in explaining to these elders what was happening that Paul shows us the process that God uses when He gives His people direction for His life. And this was our text. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, only that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. And in our text, we see four steps, almost like three steps and a result of God giving us direction in our lives. How does God do that? What process does He follow? And the first one is this: and now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem. Compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem. Now that word compelled is an interesting word. I should have taken a little video clip of this. We've got a little bull terrier, and this bull terrier sleeps on a cushion there at our feet while we're busy around the house and that, and now it's time to go to bed. And we want to take the dog out for its last little, can I say we in church? We've got to take her out for the last one of the night. But she doesn't want to go. So I kind of lift up, and then I put it between my legs like this, and I shuffle her to the door. Okay? And she's got no option, really. I mean, she could wriggle and go away, but really, I'm compelling her to go in a certain direction. Nudging when she goes this way, I push her this way, and I nudge, and I compel her to go out the door and go and do her business. She's not keen, but she goes because I'm compelling her. I'm nudging her in the direction of the door and outside to do what she needs to do. Now, that's what the word compelled looks like. It's a nudging in a direction that you cannot easily ignore. And Paul was sensitive enough to what God was doing in his life. And one day he felt this nudging happening. And he felt that the nudging was in a direction. And because Paul was familiar with the ways of God, Paul recognized that this was the Holy Spirit. And that the Holy Spirit was kind of nudging him compelling him to go in a particular direction. I used to be the personnel manager of a multinational company. I had a wonderful career stretching ahead of me. My next stop was an overseas assignment. My next car was a Mercedes. I loved my job. I would have retired happily doing that job, having spent a lifetime doing it. Guess what? One day I felt compelled by the Holy Spirit to resign my job, to go to seminary. I felt a nudging, and when I started to explore it, when I started praying about it, speaking to others about it, I realized what was happening. It was God compelling me. And so with a pregnant wife and an 18-month-old son, I resigned my job, I sold my house, I relocated to Johannesburg. Why? Because the Lord had me, and He was nudging me in a direction that I could have said no to. But I felt it was Him compelling me. I was compelled by the Spirit. And that is what happened to Paul. That's why he says, and now compelled by the Holy Spirit. You see, that's how the process starts. You're praying about a girlfriend, about a boyfriend. Do you invite him out, her out? You pray about it. You feel a nudging to do it or not to do it. And you trust God. And you obey Him. Do you apply for a job or not? You pray about it. You sense a nudging. You are obedient. And I just want to say the most difficult thing is when God is silent. Because often that means He's happy with the way things are. Often it means that if he wanted a change in your life, He would be nudging you. But He's silent. And so we've got to say, Lord, I want it so badly, but you're silent. You're not nudging me. I need to accept that. That in itself is a nudging. Now, even if you feel the nudging of God, the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean things will always work out the way you want. But you are learning to trust. You are learning obedience. This is how the process starts. God compels you by the Holy Spirit. Which brings us to the second step in the process. And now, compelled by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem not knowing what will happen to me there. When I was compelled by the Holy Spirit to go to seminary, well, all I knew was the next step, apply to seminary. But that was all I knew. I had no accommodation in Johannesburg. I had no guarantee of a job when I'd finished with seminary. The picture was hazy beyond going to seminary. And that was Paul's experience too. He knew he was compelled by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem. But after that, the picture was hazy. And we also can expect that. We like to walk by sight. We like the whole roadmap put out there for us. But often God doesn't work like that. You see, the Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And having the whole roadmap put out for us, well, where's the faith? But feeling compelled and taking that next step, not knowing what lies beyond, that requires faith. And that is what pleases God. There's this verse in the Psalms. Amy read it for us. It's a verse which for years I have used to paint a picture of what God's guidance looks like. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, I want you to use your imagination. I want you to see a person who's walking in pitch dark and all they've got is a lamp ahead of them like this. And all they can see is one step. But what happens when they take that step? Well, now they can see one step. And what happens when they take that step? Well, now they can see one step. In fact, don't use your imagination. That's what God's guidance looks like. The lamp which you are holding will show you the next step. And that's all you need to know. You need to take that step. And then the Lord will show you the next step. And that's how it works. So in this business of God's direction, he will compel us by his Holy Spirit. And when we respond, there will probably be uncertainty, but we must nevertheless take that step. You feel that the Holy Spirit is nudging you to go and talk to somebody? Oh, but Lord, what will I say to them? Doesn't matter. You take the step. Go and talk to them and allow God, the Holy Spirit, to show you what he wants you to say. You feel there's tension between you and your friend, or you feel that there's tension between two friends, and you feel the Holy Spirit nudging you, compelling you to go and speak to them. Oh, Lord, what do I say to them? That's not your business right then. Your business is to be obedient and to take the step and to allow God to show you what to do when you get there. Whenever we take a step in obedience in response to the Holy Spirit's prompting, there will be uncertainty. And the reason is simple. Without faith, we cannot please God. Which brings us to the third step. Whenever we move into the area of the will of God, there is very likely to be opposition, resistance. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. Of course, Paul literally meant prison. And the first thing that we are to do when we face opposition is to doubt that this was in fact the Lord's will for us. That's the first thing we're going to do. Lord, if it was your will, it would have been smooth sailing, but that's not necessarily so. We need to understand that we have an enemy, the devil, and he wants to keep us from fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. And so whenever you do anything significant for the Lord, you will face opposition. The person that you're going to speak to may snub you. The person you speak to may say no. It doesn't mean that you've made a mistake. It doesn't mean you've taken a wrong turn. It probably means you're on the right path. And you need to keep going. Remember this, being in the will of God doesn't mean everything's going to be nice now. The fourth stage in the process, probably more a result than part of the process. For those of you who don't know, Paul used to be a Pharisee. His self-appointed task was to kill Christians. That wasn't what he did, killed Christians. And then one day, God literally confronted him. And overnight, Paul went from a Christian-hating Pharisee to someone who loved Jesus and wanted to tell everybody about Jesus' love. But neither God nor the Christians allowed Paul to preach about Jesus' love. Not for 12 years did Paul find that he now had the freedom to do what he wanted to do. And God was using that time to teach Paul. God was using that time to mature Paul. And gradually Paul grew in confidence in the Lord and became confident in recognizing the process of God's direction. So there is Paul, compelled by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem. He's not sure of the details. He's stepping out in faith. But what he does know for sure, that he's going to face opposition. But he's willing to go because he has come to know God. He's come to trust God. And he has reached the place where he's able to say, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. And that brings us back to where we started 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, we were interested in what. What does God want me to do? What decision should I make right now? Thing is, God has a different agenda. God told us clearly, it is the will of God that you are sanctified. We want to know the what. God is more interested in the who. God is more interested in the kind of people we, his children, are. He wants to change us, and he will use different things to change us. We want the what, and we want it now. God says, hold on. I'm more interested in who you are. And so God is going to direct us. We will be compelled by His Spirit. We will have to step out in faith, not seeing beyond the next step. We will experience hardship and opposition. But as we follow God's direction, like Paul, we will end up wanting only God's best for us, wanting only to do what God wants, because we know that what God wants is the best there is for us and for His kingdom. And God probably will use a process similar to the one that I have outlined. And what I'm saying is, let's be sensitive to the nudging of God in our lives. But let's not forget it starts. It is God's will that you are sanctified. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, I know that all of us at some point in time need to know the what. I know that. And for some of us it seems really urgent. What, Lord, do you want me to do? Show me, Lord, show me. Lord, you have endless patience, and you are more concerned about the who. You want us to be your precious children, conformed to your image, living lives which please you. And so you will seem to us to take your time as you develop us to become people after your own heart. So Lord, as we seek your direction, let us start at the right place. It is your will that we are sanctified, and then learn to recognize the nudging, to understand the what. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.